Right. You know, it's a pity that, because you've called me before, and whenever you call, you put this impassioned thing on the table, and you withdraw. Your central premise is that the priority right now is to deal with COVID. I'm not going to deny it. The other point that you keep making, and you made in the last time, is that the DLP's business is the DLP's alone, and the DLP will solve their business when they're ready, and we need to keep out of the DLP's affairs. That's your central position. I have a lot of challenges with pretty much everything that you said, other than the fact that COVID is a priority. You know, we have a government that's dealing with COVID. We're tackling the COVID problem. But the questions as to the Democratic Labour Party's future are issues that the DLP cannot run away from. And as much as you may like to think it is the DLP's business, the fact that the DLP is a public political party, an institution that needs to get people to vote for it, will suggest that it has to handle its affairs in a way that would engender confidence and ensure that it succeeds at the last election. If you're of the opinion that it is a private institution, and you can lock up yourself indoors and make whatever decisions you want, and you have no obligation to tell the public anything, then my suggestion to you, sir, is that you're not a serious political organization. And if you really care about the Democratic Labour Party as much as you say you do, I think you would find it in yourself to say, let's bring some strategic advice to bear on that organization. And let's say to that organization, look, the public's eyes are on us. Let us see if we can find ways and means of moving forward, so that we are now more popular than we were yesterday. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, Mr. Wickham. Well, my issue, rather the issue with most of these newer parties, when they, is they come in on the scene with no entry plan, you know, and they come over to the masses as if they're like some shell company. Because over the years, as I look back at most of these new parties that came on the scene, you know, most of them just come, they don't have no party headquarters. And that's the first thing that they should start to do, build that foundation. And as you just rightly said, gain the trust of the masses. Because if you just come like a fly-by-night operation, people are not, even if you bring some of the best points or point out some of the, you know, the best ideas and things, people will still have that mediocre impression of you because of how you enter the come on the political scene. So in that regard, that's my problem with the new party.
One of the things, sir, that I would say to you is that if you look at the National Democratic Party, the NDP, that was launched back in the 90s, the NDP checked a lot of those boxes, in that from the get-go, the NDP came out of the gates with party headquarters. I think they even may have had a branch or two, you know, so they had some level of grassroots base. They had a party headquarters in Belleville. They had a membership card, a very fancy looking card. I never had one, but a few other people had one. And they really checked a lot of the boxes in terms of party organization. The NDP never got 20% of total popular votes in this country. And it says a lot about the challenges that political parties will face going forward. But I appreciate the sincerity of your remarks, and I think that we can agree that certainly there were a couple of issues which the PDP and other political parties have not been able to address. So one is a physical presence, you know, in terms of a headquarters. Excellent point, sir. And I want to thank you, Dr. Brastax. We continue until 2, which means we have about an hour and 15 minutes to go. A couple of things that we need to do. Firstly, I just wanted to repeat the number for the CARE packages. You dial 536-CARE. That's 536-2273 or 536-CARE. This is a distribution that is largely, well, which is exclusively for persons who are vulnerable in society. If you are a vulnerable person, if you're elderly or you're vulnerable and you have not yet been contacted or you're not on anyone's list, or alternatively, if you are like the lady who called earlier and you live in a neighborhood and you know someone who is vulnerable, who is close by and has not yet received assistance, dial 436-CARE and someone will take care of you, which of course is a plan that's intended. The Ministry of People's Empowerment and Elder Affairs is providing this service with care packages. canned fruits, fresh fruits and vegetables, dried goods, and personal care items. 4536 CARE or 536-2273. The other issue I just wanted to mention is this whole question of Ninja Man. Ninja Man is almost a national institution, and he has taken up residence at the Treasury building. Recently, he was advised to move on, and they cleared the spot where he was sleeping. He returns to that spot now, I'm told, and he is there again with, you know, the few possessions he has. And as time passes, he builds up more and more possessions. I don't believe that I would be incorrect in saying that Ninja Man appears to suffer from some kind of a mental illness, which is not helped by drug use. He's pretty much said as much when he's been in court on any of the numerous times that he's been before the court, that he has a problem. It is not different to the problem that several other persons who are homeless and derelict around the city have. He is the best known because he is a character in and of itself, that he is known and loved by many. But he is no different to many of the other vagrants and homeless people that we have around the city. Certainly, Kimar is you know, the Vagrancy and Homeless Society has a capacity to respond to people like him. However, people like him are inclined to not want to go into the care of anyone they suffer with. I guess you could call it a form of claustrophobia. And this is one of the peculiar characteristics of homelessness, that many people who are homeless actually have a desire to be homeless, and they prefer to live in that way than to be in a confined institution where they can't leave and go anywhere and so on. So the question is, what do we do? Clearly, he cannot continue to reside at the Treasury building. There will come a point where the Treasury building is being used for another purpose. My understanding is that it is to be used for housing people, you know, actual housing. And we have to answer this question regarding what we will do with him and others who may be in and around that area, you know, where how best can we provide for persons like that. So that's something for us to all think about. Received a couple of views. The gentleman is asking me my view on the vaccine going on to get to today. For me, I'm skeptical with all that's going on, especially listening to the briefing, understanding that they chose a vaccine based on spending power, knowing that countries have rejected this ineffective treatment. I say to you, sir, that I have no information that it has been rejected. That vaccine that we are using is one which is in use fairly widely in Europe, and we are using it in the Caribbean. Sadly, there is a lot of fake news, a lot of negative news, and a lot of people who are ill-informed speaking on these issues. And I think that on this occasion, we need to put our trust and confidence in the authorities who are public health authorities that are paid to advise us on these matters. And instead of playing doctor, let's just follow what they say for a change. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Mr. Wickham. And yourself?
I'm good. Are you always good?
All right. The caller that come and say, leave the LP business alone. Mm-hmm. I just find it strange that people, it's a public party either way, so you can't leave the business alone as long as it's out there. Now, my thing about that party, I have high regards for Verda de Pisa, but there are two types of leaders for me. A leader that gets respect and ones that demands it. For me, that party does not respect Verda. That is where the problem does come. And when you can see it in the public, I'm not a D, not a B. Let me put it clearly. I have voted once in my life, and I can make it clear it was because I met Verda de Pisa. And it was not even in my constituency when I met her. Let me put that clearly out there. When the Democratic Liberal Party lost the parliament and Verda de Pisa took up the reins of leadership, my thing that I say that they don't hold respect for her was she was holding a political meeting at the headquarters, and another group was holding a meeting in the I think it was the south of the land, of the country. that shows me that you know you got a leader, party holding one political meeting, we're not rally wrong. That leader, that shows the division right there. For me, that's what showed me division. The next division is that when George Pilgrim challenged for the presidency, we in a country where we have a woman leader at this point in time. You mean you cannot rally wrong and say you're going to at least groom her and support her to be the leader you come to challenge at that particular time? That shows that you ain't want that particular leader there. For me, if you was to say, well, I am contesting the presidency, that would show other people out there that, you know, I'm going behind this particular leader also. So that shows the breakdown now. In my assessment, I love Simon. I know Simon personally. My wife loves him. And Simon went on the political platform and got hammered by the ministry he was in. He was working with, saying that you should not be on a political platform. Simon is a good person, but some people overlook what they have. I don't know, is it because they're listening to other people? But that is the thing like that. You know, there's got you with a party that overlook what they have there. I also want to ask a person, what does it take to be a politician? You got to be get, you have to go there and be known. And I was like, okay, you got to be good. And then I hear that they pick Floyd Reefer for St. George. And I was like, yes, Floyd is known, but he is known in his community as a good person or a person. You grow up in an area, but you know, sometimes you don't hear the people when you pass it down on the street. Like you, Mr. Wickham, you pass through the area and you see a person, you would say, well, hello, or stuff like that. The person might not know who you are when you're driving your white Jeep. But then I was so, is a nice person, understand? Because you got manners, you know the body, you speak to them the same way. And that's the thing. He was not the right candidacy for up there for me, although he is from up there. You had other choices in the party. And then with the little, with the, it was the Secretary General, or I think. The
General Secretary, yeah.
When he got hold, I mean, that was the biggest time that you could have capitalized on people saying that, you know, this party really forgives mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
As a young person, that you could have got so much young people like in your clutches saying, well, look, this party, this boy make a mistake. And he was forgiven, not take it down and then replace him and say, well, until. Because we don't know what such mind done doing the other time with the party. But still, they may get exempt, they may get pushed off. Rumors are spread, as you know. Mm. You understand where you're coming from?
No, I got you, but what I would ask you, though, sir, is what is the basis on which you believe that you will respect a leader of a political party? How do you respect a leader of a political party, or why do you respect a leader of a political party? If you compare Verle de Pisa to David Thompson, to Errol Barrow, to Owen Arthur, to even Clyde Maskell, To Mia Motley, how would you say that she come up short then?
How she come up short? Let me put it this way. Our Prime Minister, let me put it this way. On a political stage, she is a political beast. She is a beast. As in, you know, she captivates the audience. She reads without a script. She is out there. She is gunning for what she really wants. And the other case of Verda, she is like a lamb. It's a difference in appearance. You know, it's a difference. Let me just put it out. I can't really explain it as in, not saying she's a bad person, but in her political skills, there's something lacking. That is where the other party should have groomed her. Because, you know, our Prime Minister has been in politics for a long time, so she was well-groomed. She's well-seasoned.
You know what I think is unfortunate for Verla is that we keep comparing Verla de Pisa to Mia Motley, when in truth and in fact, it's not really a fair comparison to me.
Correct.
I would say that the Democratic Labour Party unfaired Verla long before this conversation took place, because Verla de Pisa sought unsuccessfully to gain a nomination to run in the seat in 2008, if I remember correctly. Yeah. She got nominated in the election after the 2013 election. and she ran that successfully. And Verla de Pisa basically was knocking her around in the seat that she could probably never win. To me, the Democratic Labour Party did not think highly of her. And I would argue that I thought more highly of her because I was arguing for the longest while that she could have been sent to St. John when Thompson passed away. That would have been a good indication that the party had confidence in her. A big part of the reason that the DLP does not have confidence in Verla is because Verla has not been able to prove that she could win anything. And I mean, you're compared to Mia Motley. It's an awesome undertaking. And the fact is that she's taken up the leadership of the party at a really bad time. And the only battle that she has succeeded in winning is an internal battle. And it is for that reason, sir, that I was saying, when the whole question of the by-election came up, Verla should not have competed. But she competed, and she was beaten, and beaten badly. But yet still is trying to spin this narrative that, oh, you know, if she wasn't beaten that badly, the guy did well and whatnot. Look, the final analysis is that one of the ways a leader gains respect is by winning battles. And thus far, the only battle that Verla has won is a leadership contest with the Democratic Labour Party by beating George Pilgrim, who has subsequently resigned. The party has not done anything publicly to demonstrate that it is a party that could be taken seriously and win. And it's against that background that it is hemorrhaging members. Of course, it's attracting new ones, people from the PDP and so on. I really don't know that that's a great success. But, you know, your comment about respect is that you earn respect and you earn political strikes by delivering. Thompson, Clyde Maskell, all of those people won battles politically over the years. She has yet to demonstrate that she can win anything other than an internal battle. So therein lies the problem.
Right. You know? That is true also, but what I'm saying is also is that them of themselves, the party, if you get me, we have a woman leader. We have a woman leader of the party, not the opposition, of the party. You groom her, you don't come and contest. If you understand, she's not in the same category as our prime minister. She would never be in our same political beast.
Who would you prefer to see leading the Democrat Labour Party at this stage?
I have no idea. I can tell you straight now.
But somebody got to lead them.
There's somebody. That's why he's saying they should have groomed her. Mm. Groomed her. There's nobody else that you can see. You can't bring back. You can't bring, who you going to bring back? And then who are you going to select from this future, this young party that they have?
Do you like any of the candidates that you have seen coming forward?
I got to tell you the truth, we had one, Kim Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
I had one, not to lead. That was one of my contested candidates. One.
Mm-hmm.
She did well, but as I know, she entered the time when Barbados was fed up. Probably mm-hmm. could have given a run too, but Barbados was fed up. Because I also know that some people don't vote for Topping because of Topping. Some people vote for Topping because it's the party. They want the party in. Mm-hmm. So you understand that sometimes it don't be the person, it be the party.
Mm-hmm.
If you get me.
I got you.
Right. But
it's just that, look, you gotta have somebody lead the party.
Right now, I can't see none. Can you see one? Let me ask you.
No, I mean, personally, I thought that Verla was the person. And my feeling was that after Verla gained the office, she should have used it to demonstrate, you know, that the party was heading in a different direction. I have publicly spoken and given advice along the way in terms of things I thought she ought to do and not do. And not hiding in secret, but basically saying. And, you know, I don't get the impression that she is cut from the cloth that's needed. And this is the reason why, following the last election and so on, the by-election, that it was clear to me that the Democratic Labour Party had started to look internally and said, look, let's see how we can salvage the situation by looking elsewhere, because she's clearly not working out. So I really don't know who they're going to turn to now, but I would like to think that things could have worked out very differently. Let's wait and see how this nomination goes, whether and if she identifies the candidates that have been nominated, and let's see how the candidate list looks, you know, to see if it looks a certain way. If it has some of the characters on it that I'm hearing, and it does not have some of the characters on it that have left the Democratic Labour Party, I have to tell you that I'm very concerned about the future.
Control.
Of the DLP.
Correct.
You know the point that I often make, and I don't know if people realize this, Grenada, Keith Mitchell has won all the seats three times. You know, we have twice as many seats as them. But he did it. He did it three times. He did it from government. He did it from opposition. So people need to be very careful, huh? That if they believe that Prime Minister Motley can't win all 15 seats, all 30 seats again, they have another thing coming. Because if the Democratic Labour Party is not careful, they will be handed another 30 love. And I think it is incumbent upon them to do that. Because a 30 love drubbing once is bad. A 30 love drubbing twice is almost inexcusable. And to me, this is exactly what they're looking at now if they don't wake up and smell the coffee. Coffee is a lovely thing to smell in the morning, huh?
Yes, please.
All right, sir.
All right, thank you.
Good chatting with you. Thanks for calling. It's always good to talk politics with fellow politicos. My friend Auntie America is saying that he cannot call the program. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that he's a COVID denier and an anti-vaxxer. Maybe that's the reason that he got banned. I don't even know if he's banned because I have no information regarding the banning. So that is the word from on high, Auntie America.